missions conferences. I really do, because it's the time when the church gets to really focus in and hone in on the whole world. The whole world. It's a big task, a big job, but it's an exciting job because our co-laborer is God Himself. He is working with us. And we're working together to see that the whole world would know who His Son is, who He freely gave to us for salvation. And that's such an exciting thing. And I'll let you on a little secret. We as missionaries, we give to missions too. And we don't get opted out of missions just because we're missionaries. We get just as excited about giving as you guys do too. And we just increased our missions by $200 a month a couple of weeks ago. And we've already seen God just more than, I don't know, He just gave us so many blessings. It's been such a blessing to see. And I know that God has the power to do that. And He doesn't fail ever. And it's awesome. I love this time as you make these commitments. But I know this is the last one, isn't it? And I'm very, very privileged and honored that I'm speaking tonight. And I have a message that I hope that will ring for time to come. That it's not just you listen to it, you forget about it, and you move on and go on and forget. I pray it's something that you think about and pray about as far as missions are concerned. And I don't think it's too ironic that we're going to be looking at the life of King Josiah, right? So that's the message I had prepared for the evening. So let's go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 34. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 34. And there's some things that we can learn from the life of King Josiah. Significant thing, he was a young king. That's probably one of the things that stands out a lot. But I think there's some other things to see this evening. So I'm just going to read the first two verses and then we'll have a word of prayer. It says that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You for this time that You've given me to preach Your word. I pray that You would just fill me with Your Spirit and help me to speak Your words and not my own, Lord. And I pray that You would just use Your word to speak to people's hearts this evening and help them to follow what the will of God is for their own personal lives and make that commitment tonight, Lord. And we just want to thank You for all that You've done and all that You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have King Josiah here. It says that he was 8 years old when he began to reign as king. That's pretty young. Who wants an 8-year-old king? I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, it's better than what we got now. So, you know, King Josiah, he's this 8-year-old boy, and the Bible says that he was a good king. But let's kind of ask ourselves, why is King Josiah 8 years old? Why is he 8 years old? Does anybody know? Anybody got an idea? If you study the history, you'll find your answer. Go back into 2 Chronicles chapter 33. It's just a few verses before there. It says in verse 21, Ammon, now this is Josiah's father. He was the king also. Ammon was 22 years old. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. That's it. He reigned 2 years. What happened? He was a very evil king, very wicked, corrupt. So corrupt that look in verse number 24. It says his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. That guy must have been pretty bad if they could only put up with him for 2 years. And then they killed him and he was murdered by his own servants. So, but he was 22 when he began to reign. He died 2 years later. He's 24 years old, and he has an 8-year-old son. So how old was King Ammon when his son was born? He's only 16 years old, right? So he has this teenage father is raising this son who also had an evil grandfather who repented, but the people would not repent. But anyhow, you have all this stuff going on. And it's just evil and corrupt, and people can't put up with that. So they just got rid of that king. And so they revolted. We see this revolution take place. And now we sing King Josiah become king at 8 years old. So that's the reason, when we first read it, it's not very obvious, but that's the reason, is because his father had died so young that now he's there. So after this revolution takes place, King Josiah steps up to the throne. And he doesn't really do a whole lot right away, yep, for 8 years. It says in verse 3, for the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young. So how old is he now? 16 years old. Now there's something that he does that's very, very important to pay attention to. It says, he began to seek after the God of David his father. He's seeking after God. That's some interesting wording there. He's seeking after God. It doesn't word it any other way, but he's beginning to seek. I think there's an important wording there. And what's the next thing he does? In the 12th year, so how old is he now? He's already 20 years old, and it's just a few verses in. Man, it's going fast. He's 20 years old. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So you have King Josiah. He finally gets to be about 20 years old. Say this 12 years old of not much going on. 20 years old. He goes on this campaign, and it can be further exactly what he does. But he goes all around the area, and he destroys these idols and these altars. And how long it lasts for 6 years, if you read on. For 6 years he's on this campaign before he ever returns back to Jerusalem. So let me try to apply that to today, how we can understand that. So the land is very, very wicked, right? In Israel. And today, right? It's idolatrous. It's full of wickedness. So what is King Josiah's solution? What does he do? He goes and just destroys all their stuff. So why don't we try that, right? We can go around and we can go to the bars and all the places that shouldn't even exist, and we just burn those places down. What's going to happen if we do that? Are people going to be very happy? No, they're not. Now, well, King Josiah, he's a king. So maybe you're saying we go to jail, right? Well, let's pretend we had all the political power that we needed. And we started legislating all these laws. Okay, now we're going to outlaw, how about alcohol? No alcohol allowed. Nope. How about abortion? No abortion allowed. Are those good laws? Those would be excellent laws, I think. But how would that make the people in this country feel? Do you think they'd be very happy? Oh, thank you. No. They would be very angry. There would be protest. So this legislation or this forced law, does that yield repentance? No, it does not. This does not yield repentance. Taking some things away, there's no repentance. And the same thing with religion. The different flavors they have out there. You know, it's basically all the same thing. You know, do this, don't do that, get rid of this, get rid of that. And that's religion. And you have all these rules and legislation, but it doesn't yield repentance. And as we continue on, so King Josiah, he goes on a 6-year campaign and destroys all these idols. And that's the reformation of the land. Next in verse 8, what does he do? The very end, he gathers all these people together to do what? To repair the house of the Lord his God. So the next step is the renovation. He goes to renovate the house of God. Why? Well, obviously it was in need. It was probably destroyed. It had not been used. We don't know the exact condition, but there's some things had to be replaced, and then the floors and everything, and all these people had to be gathered to work. It was a big project to make it look so nice. They wanted the house of God to look so nice. If you have a church building that looks really nice, is that good? Yeah, I think that is awesome. I think your church building should look nice. You know, if it's falling apart, you know, you might want to do something about that, or as much as you can. But, you know, but what about the Catholic churches? Have you been in the basilicas ever? They're beautiful. They're amazing. They have all these beautiful paintings, very old paintings, very ornate, and glass windows, neat architecture. But does the beauty of a building, does that yield repentance? Absolutely not. I've never seen a Catholic come into a church, step in, wow, okay, I'm done. You know, I give up, God. No. Buildings don't do that. Well, let's take it down a level to a personal level. What about us? You know, if we put a tie on, we get our suit on, put our Bible in our hand, now I'm looking all good and right on the outside, right? Does looking good on the outside, is it a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing. It is good. But does it necessarily yield repentance? No, it does not. So you have King Josiah. He's trying his best to do what? I believe he's trying his best to seek after God. That's what he's been doing since he was 16 years old. And while they're in this project of trying to get the house of God back together and shape it up in the way it needs to be, what happens? If you know the story, look in verse number 14. They find something. It says, "And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses." What did they find? They found the law of God, the Bible, the revelation for those people. Wow. They've been living all those years, who knows how many years, with the Word of God just kind of stowed away, tucked away, not being used by anybody. And I hope that's not the case with your Bible, that it's stowed away and tucked away, never to be used. But that was the case with this kingdom here. The Bible was nowhere to be found. They finally find it. They find the revelation for them. They have the Bible. They get it. And so they run, and then they give it to the king, and they read it to him. And what is his reaction? We'll see. Verse number 19. It says, "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes." Now, what significance does that have in the Jewish culture if someone rips their clothes? Sorrow, repentance, regret, grief, all those things, right? So, let's go back. We're thinking about verse number 2. It says that King Josiah was a good king. If King Josiah is such a good king, he's got rid of all this stuff. He's made the house of God look so wonderful. But what happens when he reads the Bible? He is grieved. He repents. He's in repentance. He's in sorrow. Why? Because he finally sees the righteousness of God. He sees the holiness of God. He's been living in his own righteousness, his own guide, his own level. And finally, when he matches that with God, he realizes he's way short. He has come short of the glory of God. It is just so far away. And he is repentant. And he is a good king because he did repent. And why was it? Was it... And as you read through the rest of the chapter, the whole nation gets on board. They make a covenant. Hey, We're going to do all the covenant commandments that God told us to do. And there was a revival that took place. They took the place of the Passover and the feast and everything. And we see this great revival take place. And why was it? It was because of the Word of God. It was because of the Word of God that they had in their possession. You see, it was not some kind of reformation that took place. When King Josiah came in and took all the idols down and said, "These are evil, these are wicked, don't do this." Was there a revival that took place then? No. When they built the building and made it look so wonderful and so nice, we're going to worship God. Was there a revival that took place then? No. It was when they had the Word of God. Do you believe that the Word of God has power? I sure do. But unfortunately, let me tell you a fact. When choir, you guys came in this evening and you sang a song, "Set My Soul Afire," right? Set my soul afire. There's a line that you sang, "Millions grope in darkness waiting for thy word." That may be truer than you realize. You see, there is over 7,000 different languages spoken today. Only between 400 and 500 of those languages have the completed Word of God. Now, many have New Testaments. Some languages have portions, but I believe it's even more than half do not even have a single verse of Scripture in their own language. And even when we're working with the Tibetan people, there's 80 to 100 different languages and dialects. I say languages because many of them are not mutually intelligible. They cannot understand each other. And there's many groups like that in Nepal, Bhutan, India, Bangladesh, and in Africa, Uganda, and these various areas around the world. People do not have the Word of God. They're still groping in darkness, waiting for the Word of God. Now, we see what happens to this kingdom here when they didn't have the Word of God. There was no revival that took place. There was no great change. Sure, they were upset with the great evil that Ammon had, but there was no great change until they had the Word of God. And even us as missionaries, we cannot go in and expect great change without the Word of God. So when we go in, we have to give them the Bible. Like I said earlier, we've helped start two churches. We have a children's program. We cannot say, "Hey, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 28. We can't do that. We either have to revert to another language or just translate on the fly. It's very challenging. And it's always the missionary said so and so, and that's why. Why can't they have the authority of the Word of God? They need that for their own faith. And we believe that through the revelation, we will see repentance happen. We will see revival. We will see resolution take place among people to resolve to serve God and Him only. And we'll see a similar reaction that King Josiah had when he was ripping his garments. And that's what I really hope to see. That's why we do all this work. And when we translate the Word of God and finally give it to these people, I know that we will see many reactions the same way. "Wow, I never realized that God was this holy. I've been doing these Buddhist things, and you know, it just doesn't compare. When you compare Him, wow, God is so great." And they'll repent and realize, that they're already under condemnation. "Wow, according to these laws, I'm already under condemnation. But wow, He sent His Son to deliver me from this condemnation and give me salvation. Wow, what a great God." And I believe they will repent and they will turn to Him. But they need the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. The Word of God is what has power. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want